Hello! Before we dive into this episode, I want to tell you about a series of career events being run by Food Matters Live in November 2022. It's a great opportunity for students from the fields of engineering, nutrition, and food science to network with other graduates and industry leaders and to learn essential skills that are going to help them shape the future. It's also a fantastic opportunity for companies to partner with us and meet those top graduates who are shaping the future of the industry. As if that wasn't enough, we'll also be recording some live episodes of this podcast at the events, and so you'll get to see what really happens behind this microphone. This is part of a series of live events we're planning, starting in London on the 1st and 2nd of November, and in Birmingham on the 7th of November. If you're running a course and think your students might be interested, or if you work in the food and drinks industry and would like the opportunity to meet these potential employees of the future, do please send us an email to info@foodmatterslive.com or go to our website, foodmatterslive.com, and search career events. Now, here's the podcast. Hello, you're listening to Career Conversations, a series that's part of the Food Matters Live podcast. I'm Alicia Roche, a chef and food journalist. And together we'll meet experts in cooking, mixology, the environment, psychology, branding, social media, and all sorts as we learn about the surprisingly varied roles that go way beyond the kitchen. Today I'm chatting to the extremely pleasant Rosie Brown, who is the co-CEO of frozen meals company Cook, along with her brother Ed. Together, they have formed an incredibly successful multi-million pound company that still somehow manages to have a strong element of social enterprise, giving food back to poorer communities and helping people get back into work. Even better, they've done it all on their own, totally independently, never selling their meals in supermarkets. Now, with apologies, we did have a few technical issues with a bit of the audio, so bear with me, please. I'll be back at the end with some key info about setting up your own food business. But for now, settle in and enjoy the podcast. If you were standing at the bus stop or you just bumped into someone at a party, what would you describe your job as? What do you do?
Oh, gosh. So I run Cook with my brother, Ed, who founded the business 25 years ago. I see my job as the guardian of Cook's values and purpose, ultimately. So to make sure that everybody in Cook is living the values that were set out at the beginning of the business, and that we're following our purpose in building the business we want to build, I suppose.
And what is Cook? I mean, I've seen some Cook shops on the high street, but I understand you're mostly online. What is it, if you had to describe it?
So we are a food business that sells frozen food that looks and tastes homemade. So our whole founding principle was to cook using the same techniques and ingredients that you'd use at home. So everything looks and tastes homemade. And so, you know, we pride ourselves on quality. We taste every dish every day. And so we're for people who love good cooking but don't always have the time to cook. And we sell those in 94 of our own shops and 800 concessions partners and obviously an e-commerce business. So we've grown the business without the supermarkets to date, which has suited us really well. It's allowed us to keep our independence, essentially. So that is Cook, and we're all about wanting to, you know, purpose-led business. We were one of the earliest B Corps, and it's about cooking to nourish people and planet.
What is a B Corp? Because I keep hearing about them, and I see that some supermarkets even have shelves devoted to B Corp companies. What is it?
So B Corp is it's a movement for people who believe in business as a force for good. So I definitely believe, you know, business can have, business has the potential for enormous positive change, more so than governments. You know, the power of business is huge. And so if every business operated and honoured people and place, the world would look very different. And so the B Corp movement is a movement of businesses that share those values, and it's where businesses are willing to hold themselves accountable for environmental and social performance. And it's a certification system that's absolutely rigorous. It's very, very tough. It's like, we call it a total no bullshit stamp. There's no way you can fake it, you know, like some certifications. It's rigorous. But it's also more than a certification system. It's a community of like-minded businesses who share learnings. It's an amazing thing to be part of. It's really inspiring. And I think, you know, we were the first proper company to certify back in 2012. And I think today there are 1,000 UK B Corps, which is amazing. So we're all about changing business. So it's not just about shareholder primacy and everything being funneled to shareholders, but actually looking after employees, planet as well.
I mean, we often interview founders on Career Conversations, and sometimes they're at the beginning and sometimes they've been going for a while, but you're kind of a big deal, really, because you employ so many people. Is it 1,000, 2,000 around the UK?
Yes, so 1,600 people at the moment.
Amazing. And how do you even begin to know what they're all up to? How do you keep track of that many people? And I imagine it's going to grow even more.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's a good question. I think I'm very interested in organisational charts, which sounds terribly boring, but I think ultimately that's how you keep track of everyone. So obviously we've got three production kitchens, which each have a senior leader in them. We've got a retail business, which has leadership of its own. We've got a concessions business, which has leadership and a plan. So for me, it's just about making sure every area of the business has a very clear leader who's responsible for everybody, that reports into them or below them. And that's a good starting point, I think. So, and we aspire to have sort of autonomous units in production. So it's not sort of one big melting pot of people. There are very distinct units in the business, and that definitely helps us keep track.
Well, Rosie, you're definitely doing something right, because Best Company has named you one of the top food and drinks brands to work for in the UK. So you must feel very proud when you hear that people are happy working for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's part of who we are, right back to when Ed and Dale started the business. They both have enormous care and passion for people, and that's still very alive in the business today. And it's challenging, you know, and it doesn't come easily, and it's challenging at the moment with cost of living crisis and all sorts that's going on, but yeah, I think caring for people is absolutely fundamental to who we are, and great believer in, if we care for people, they care for our business in return. So really making sure you're close to everybody in the business, you're listening, you're responding, is absolutely part of who we are, I think.
And you've mentioned your brother, Ed. This is a family business. You co-founded it together. Were there any other founders?
So no, I didn't co-found the business, actually. Ed founded it with a chef called Dale back in 1997, and I joined them 3 years later. And I have another brother who is also involved. So there's plenty of other people in the business who've been there 20 years too. So we really are a little tribe that have built this business together over the years.
I personally can't think of anything worse than working with my brother, let alone two of them. So did you all get on before this happened?
Yeah, we've always got on. And I think it helps that Ed and I see the world in the same way. We share values. We've always been completely united in our vision for Cook and the kind of business we want it to be, not just about what we want to achieve, but how we want to get there. And doing business right. So I think, you know, we've always shared that enormously. And, you know, it's like any kind of close relationship. We think 90% of it is great and fun and energizing, and we love it. And 10% is awful. But we try not to focus on the 10% too much and let it go. And tomorrow's always a new day. And on we go. But we always come back to that kind of same dream and vision that we have of what we want Cook to be. So it's always really helpful to have something to come back to, for sure.
You mentioned the cost of living crisis, which is going to be ongoing. And whenever this podcast goes out, people are still going to be very worried about it. I love that on your website, there are so many different categories of food, from indulgent treats and party foods to kind of bulk buy value meals. When you first started with Cook, how did you know which meals to put on sale first? Was it a small range?
So yeah, I think there were about 6 different recipes, and there were no one portions, you know, so the range has developed over time beyond belief. And I think now our goal is, you know, we want to provide, and as far as the cost of living crisis, is really good value for customers. So we have entry level pricing for some of our ranges, but also we're trialling a new mechanic at the moment, which is 20% off one of our best sellers each week. And that's proving to be a really interesting and good promotional mechanic for us. Because I think customers are looking for a bargain, aren't they? And as a company, we want to offer our regular customers value. So as well as a kind of range of marketing initiatives, that deep discount in stores seems to be, you know, really working for us and feels important in tough times.
Rosie, if you think back to your school days or even your uni days, is this what you thought you would end up doing with your life?
No. So I've got a very muddled career journey. So I wanted to be a nurse at school. And I was advised the whole way through my teenage years that I would be a terrible nurse by my parents, by my teachers, by everyone. But I'd had my appendix out when I was 7, and I decided when I was 7 that I was going to be a nurse, and no one was going to tell me otherwise. And so I then went and did a nursing degree, and I managed 18 months before I got kicked out because it wasn't for me. So I have to learn my own lessons clearly. And then I was sort of penniless, and my parents had said enough is enough. And so I was on my own, and I was 19, and I went and got a job in London. I figured what I do have is I can type and I've got a smart accent. So I thought I'll go be a secretary somewhere. So I went to Westminster and got a job in the kind of political arena being a secretary. And then from there, I went into investment banking, where I worked in client services for a bit. And then my brothers called me up in 2000 and said, hey, do you want to come and join us? And we need an HR department. Do you want to set up an HR department? And I said, I know nothing about HR. And they were like, we know nothing about running a business. So I was like, okay, I'll come and join. And actually, I was feeling a bit purposeless at the bank. I was feeling like a tiny cog in a very big wheel, and it wasn't working for me. But it taught me an awful lot, that experience at the bank, about my values, about what was important to me in a career, about what the kind of culture we wanted to create at Cook. And so it was a great learning experience. Even if it wasn't for me, it was a great learning experience that has informed my career since, I think. But no, I've never had any career aspirations.
Well, I love it. All the most interesting people we meet here have got really eclectic CVs that are a bit windy. So it's wonderful. Were there any entrepreneurs in the family, or did you end up having a kind of business mentor?
Yeah, so both. So we'd grown up in an entrepreneurial family where my parents ran cafes, and we would talk about sandwich fillings at the table, you know. So we were very used to the cut and thrust of business and business decisions, and that was definitely in our background. And then I think business mentors have been enormously important to us. So I think both Ed and I, and many other people in the business as well, have reached out all the way through our careers to people who we have looked up to and admired in bigger businesses than us, that are a step ahead of where we were, and said, can we go for coffee? It's amazing how many people you email and say, hey, can do you want to go? I love what you do. Do you want to go for coffee? Say yes, and then give you their time. So I think we've always been good learners, and exploring and learning from others. We've both done that as a matter of course, I think.
So you've been audacious, which is another thing we hear a lot of on this podcast, people who are bold enough to just ask, because, you know, if you don't try, you don't get.
Well, absolutely. And we've been, you know, on the receiving end of some incredible generosity. You know, Timpson's was really kind to us. I loved how they were with people and allowed me to go and spend a couple of days in their HR department in the early days, which really helped inform my thinking. And then Pret a Manger is another business we've been enormously inspired by, you know, how they kind of built and ran their business during the 2010s. So Yeah, we've been so inspired by other businesses and they've been so generous to us. So yeah, it's how we've learned.
So if there are students who are listening now who are dreaming of setting up a food truck, or perhaps they're planning even bigger and they want to set up a whole business in food and drinks, what do you think would be useful for them to study or focus on just from the get-go?
I would say have a clear vision of what you want to achieve. Have a clear view of who your customer is. I think something Cook always had right from the early days is we knew who our customer was and we knew who we were cooking for, and that's held us in very good stead. And over the years that's changed, but I think being very clear about your customer and therefore how you're serving them is a good starting place. And then just go for it. Go for it. Figure it out. I'm a great believer in learning through doing, which isn't for everybody, but it served me well.
Do you think that to be a good entrepreneur, you have to have a certain personality type, or could anyone really learn to do it?
I think creativity exists in all of us. So I think anyone can be an entrepreneur. I think one of the great skills of entrepreneurs is, and I'm speaking particularly about Ed, my brother, in this, is recognizing where you add the value and what your skills are, and then building a team of people around you where your skills might not be the strongest. So I think that is one of the great skills of successful entrepreneurs is they pull together a really good group of values aligned people who share their vision, all with different skills to bring to the party.
Now, this is a tricky and perhaps unpopular subject matter because British people don't like talking about money. But if you think back to Ed and Dale, or maybe even when you came in, how did you initially find funding to start a business? Was it bank loans? Was it something else?
Yeah, so it was a bank loan. So it was about £20,000 from the bank, and a little bit from my parents who'd invested. But it all stemmed from private financing. And I think all the way through, we have never had private equity backing. And so we've funded it ourselves. We have built a group of very aligned shareholders who are private, just a few private individuals who share our values. But one of the reasons we've kept that independent is it means we can grow the business how we want to grow it, with the values we want to grow it. We've never had finance on our back saying you've got to grow at, X percent, and you've got to make this profit, and you've got to sell out in 5 years. We've never had that pressure on our back, so we've always been able to grow at a pace that we feel works for the business. If you grow a business like Cook too fast, you lose your culture and your quality, and we are absolutely, that is what we are all about. So, and it's also meant we continue to invest in our values, be that kind of paying profit share or the real living wage to our teams, or improving our sustainability or our animal welfare and our supply chain, without anyone telling us we have to hit a certain profit figure. So yeah, that it's been a bit bootstrap at times, and we've never had as much money as we would like to invest in the business, because you don't. But you make do, and it's amazing how creative you can be when you don't have pots of cash to play with. So, yeah, that's how we've sort of built the business step by step.
Now, I'm putting you on the spot here a little bit, but I bet you know the answer. Of all your delicious meals, what's the best seller?
Lasagna, every time. So we sell a lot of lasagna, and which is great. And actually, recently, interestingly, veggie lasagna has started to outsell meat lasagna. So both are top sellers. So lasagna, lasagna,
It's me again. So that was the lovely Rosie, who had some fantastic advice, I thought, about not worrying about the past and just getting stuck in and getting on with it. Her best advice to anybody listening who wants to set up their own business is just go for it. Don't stall any longer. She and her brother managed to raise cash from family and a bank loan when they first started out. And I always advise wannabe founders to try to get 10k minimum cash when you're starting out. Now, I know that sounds a lot, and so we're here to help you, and our Food Matters Live online guide can show you how to do this. Just go to the Food Matters Live homepage, scroll right to the bottom, and you'll see a special tab all about food entrepreneurship. Thank you so much to Rosie for your time. I've just put in an order of low-calorie meals to beat the bulge that comes with podcasting. And thank you for listening. Until next time, goodbye.
Before you go, just a reminder about those career events. They're happening in London and Birmingham on the 1st, 2nd and 7th of November. For more information, email info@foodmatterslive.com or go to our website, foodmatterslive.com, and search career events.